KSL at night.
Welcome back to KSL at Night. I'm your host this evening, KSL legal analyst Greg Skordis, and I'm joined this evening. I'm actually very pleased by this because I had a chance to visit with our next guest for a little while before we started. This is Oksana Markarova, the Ukrainian ambassador to the United States. Welcome to KSL.
And thank you.
Welcome to the United States. I mean, welcome to Salt Lake City, I should say. You're currently living here, I guess, right?
Thank you for having me, Greg. And yes, it's great to be in Utah, great to be in Salt Lake City.
So what brought you to Salt Lake? Why are you here?
Well, there is a big forum tomorrow, where I will speak. And I had a great meeting with the governor already today and was very glad to join with my team, the honorary counsel, Jonathan Friedman, who we have here, who today, actually 16 years since he started serving as an honorary counsel of Ukraine to Salt Lake City. So a lot to do and a lot of cooperation with the state of Utah and a lot of support during these difficult times.
What's the big event tomorrow?
It's a big forum where a lot of people will speak, business and happy to participate there.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, talk to us, because we're always hearing about the war in Ukraine, and it's got to be overwhelming to the people there. But how are the people? What's it like in Ukraine now? If I was a citizen of Kyiv today or 5 years ago, how would my life be different?
Well, it is very different. It's a full-fledged war. A couple of days, a couple of times a day in Kyiv, you will hear the air sirens and you know that you have to go to the bomb shelter because on some of this, it's not just the siren, but you will hear the explosions. Now, when we have enough air support and air defense support from our friends and partners, we have enough interceptors and all of them are then destroyed. But if not, like today in Odessa or in Kharkiv or in so many places, then they reach the target and people are killed, sometimes in their sleep. And hospitals are destroyed, and Kharkiv, again, as a city in the eastern Ukraine, is literally being pounded and destroyed every day. And it's a full-fledged war, what can I tell you? It's a very difficult situation, and yet people still are not giving up. And you would be surprised by people working and running errands and having the greatest coffee in Kyiv you can try and being upbeat, and children would be in school, sometimes in the bomb shelter, sometimes couple of times a day to the bomb shelter, but they continue education. Wow. It's horrible and, promising because of the resilience at the same time.
Are people still supportive of the resistance? Are people still feeling like Ukraine needs to be an independent nation? Is
Greg,
that still
we don't have any other choice.
Right.
We all wanted to be who we are, just peaceful, European, Ukrainian, democratic people who just live their lives, grow food, raise children, elect our government officials and change them on the regular basis. We have been attacked. We've seen what happens under occupation in Bucha, where I live, in other places. We know how many people are tortured, killed, as we speak, in Mariupol and other places which are still under occupation in Crimea. We know that more than 20,000 children, Ukrainian children, are abducted by Russians. You know, there is no other option for us but to defend what we love, defend our homes, because Russia does not plan to stop. They can only be stopped.
Yeah, and I know that maybe I don't want you to get into the weeds in terms of the politics, but it seems like American support is waning a little. Is I don't know. Sometimes it seems like it's there. Sometimes it seems like it's not. NATO is sort of jumping in and jumping out. What's the current feeling of the Ukrainian people about the support that they're getting from not just the U.S. but from NATO?
When I talk to people here, I see, and I know that we have very strong bipartisan support in both parties. When I travel regionally, like today in this great state, I mean, people support us and people understand that it's important for America because it's in American national interest. And yet, as you're right, people support us, everyone support us. And then for a couple of months already, Congress is debating this support to Ukraine.
Thinking, right.
And since last October, we don't have new support with weapons, new support with financial support. And it has an effect, unfortunately, because, you know, we are running out of interceptors, we are running out of weapons, and we need that support as soon as possible. And I know it's not even related to Ukraine sometimes. It's an election year. There are internal problems. But this is a great country. You can do, as you say, walk and chew gum at the same time. You know,
right.
It's you as the beacon of democracy. U.S. is the leader of democracy. And we count on this support. Now, you talked about Europe and NATO countries. Europe actually adopted already support to Ukraine for the next 4 years. And they're trying to front load whatever they can to step up. And they're trying to help us with everything. But we cannot do it without the U.S. Nobody has as much as U.S. and is able to help. We are against a very large, brutal enemy.
Oh, I can't even imagine what it's like. I mean, I was reading a book the other day and told my wife, you know, it seems like at this point in the world, there just aren't wars. There just aren't countries trying to overtake another. And she said, well, tell that to the people in Ukraine. You know what I mean? Like, it's real. And we don't think about it here. And maybe we need to a little bit more. I mean, it seems like that a lot of times it was big a couple of years ago, and now maybe with the Gaza situation, you know, we're sort of looking at, well, where do we want to throw our support? But we're talking about democracy. We're talking about a country that's being overcome by, really, it seems like a horrible, horrible enemy. I mean, it just, to me, on the outside, it seems like we should do whatever we can to help the people of Ukraine.
Absolutely, Greg, because it's pure evil and they are uniting. Look at Russia is working together with North Korea and Iran. They are providing each other with weapons. Russia, so the other situations in the world should actually persuade us to do more.
That's what you think.
Because we have to win in Ukraine, not only to stop Russia from attacking other countries, and they would, they're very open about it, because it's much cheaper, it's more efficient to win while it's still in Ukraine, but also to send a resounding message to deter those terrorists and aggressors who might think about doing it in other places.
I see. And you and I talked before we started. I'm going to digress just a little bit, because we know that Utah has a huge Latter-day Saint population. And I asked you if there's a Latter-day Saint presence in Ukraine, and you said there's a temple there. I guess I should know that, but I mean...
Oh, and it's an amazing temple on the ring road around Kyiv. You drive, and that's the road that I took from my work to home, and you drive through this very busy ring road, and then suddenly you see this magnificent white temple.
Yeah.
Church has a big presence in Ukraine, because Ukraine is known for religious freedom.
Yeah, I want you to talk about that, about the religious freedom in Ukraine. It seems you mentioned a lot of groups that are there, and it seems like it's very broad.
I think you would not find a group that is not there. So we have a very big population, of course, of Orthodox Christians and Catholics and Greek Catholics. But pretty much every Protestant church has a very large presence in Ukraine. We have Baptists, we have Evangelicals, we have all type of Protestant denominations. We have vibrant Jewish community. We have a vibrant Ukrainian Muslim community. And more importantly, it's one of the places where they not only coexist, they actually work together. They get together in the Council of Churches, where they meet on a regular basis to discuss the issues of faith and communicate with government and communicate with people. And this type of religious freedom and peaceful, not only coexistence, but cooperation is something very Ukrainian. You know, we're very tolerant people, and we protect this religious freedom because it's very important for us.
I can see that. You know, Oksana, I wish we had had you on our show before. You're remarkable, and you're a great role model for the people of Ukraine. You know, bless you for being here, and thank you for coming and joining us today on KSL.
And thank you, and God bless all the people of Utah for your support.
Very well. When we come back after the break, I wish we could actually spend two segments with you. But when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about a new legislation in dealing with Utah's schools and safety. Stay with us.